B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports Hub. Putting you in the middle of the story. Middle of the day.
I want to bring the ignorance back to life.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Fourth and final hour, Zolak and Bertrand here on 98.5 The Sports Hub and on NBC Sports Boston, 617-779-0985. Let's get right back to
sure.
These calls. Let's get right back at it. Scott is on the pike today on Stephon Gilmore. Hi, Scott.
Yeah, hey, guys. My point's kind of quick, and I just want to say, like, are we all in agreement that Gilmore is lying about his illness? Because if he is, then doesn't that kind of like speak to his character? And
no,
and then even more than that, I mean, I know Vulgar and Az would agree with me on this, but still, you guys are more fair, so I don't know, what do you think? And also, Zoe, love you, guy. I've said some stuff to you in the past and I wish I could take it back.
I have to do that every day. Thank you.
What the hell?
Okay. No, it doesn't speak to his character.
It does not speak
Stop
to his character.
It.
This is...
Because the team knows.
It's a part of the business.
It's all that. This is what they do.
They also changed the rules this year that if you don't show up, you can't negate the fines.
This is also the guy
and
that...
So that was all part of this.
This right. is also the guy that they got excused for a couple days and then next thing you know, he got a bump.
Yeah.
A forward payment.
Come on. This is how business is done.
This is how it's done. It has nothing to do with this guy. This guy's got great character. I mean, just read the stuff about him. You know, good player, solid, comes to work every day. You don't have to worry about him.
For all we know, the Patriots told him, whatever you do, don't hold out because then you're going to get fined. We'll figure this out. We know what we've got going on with your contract. No, you can't play due to injury. Okay. Does that make sense? Everybody good with that? That's what we're going with? That's what we're going with. There was an injury there, but he also said earlier this season that he was good to go tomorrow. That was, what, back in June?
Mm.
He said he could ready to go.
Brent in Shrewsbury. Brent, what do you got today?
Football guy.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. I told the screener something about Cam Newton's interception. I thought it was a pretty good throw. Where are these lasers coming from? I lean Mac Jones myself, but I'm a bit confused about that. I wanted to talk on Gilmore more slowly. Gilmore, I don't
Slow
think
down.
He's as fast as he was when he was the defensive player of the year, and he's aged a bit. So I don't believe you can put him on the guy from Arizona there. What's his name?
DeAndre Hopkins.
I don't think you can put him alone on Hopkins. He might need some help nowadays. What I do think he can excel at is being some kind of press man or cover two press corner. I don't know if we play much cover two. I know they like playing man with McCourty back there by himself, more cover one setup. But wow. Gilmore should be able to press with the best of everyone in the league. Like any corner in the league, I guarantee you Gilmore can press man. He just can't run deep like he used to. So with our pass rush, I want him out there at least doing that for us, you know.
I'd bring 2 week a lot. Wouldn't you bring 2 week? Like get the two linebackers cranked up, get Van Noy.
I was right about Uche, wasn't I, Zoe? He was all over the place.
Dude, it's the athletic ability of this guy. Oh, impactful. Very impactful.
Yep. I love those calls. I love those calls.
Football intelligence call right there.
Yeah. Mike in Worcester. Hello, Mike.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
How are you, Mike?
I have two questions, and I'll hang up and listen. They're both hypothetical. One is for all three. Well, they're both for all three of you. But if the season were to start tomorrow, who would you start at quarterback? I'd like to hear all of your opinions. And second of all, I realize it's the preseason and the games don't count. But I'd be interested in your take on, do you think after what they went through last year that a lot of these players, you know, feel better about themselves because they've gone 3-0, and do you think it carries into the season, even though it's only preseason? And thanks, guys. God bless you. Okay. Listen.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate the call. Mac Jones. Yeah, I want to throw the ball.
Mac Jones.
That's what I'd...
3-0, Mac Jones.
That's who I'd start.
Who do you think will start?
Cam Newton.
So now you've got our who we would start and who we think will start. The other part was, do you think the 3-0 record of the preseason and the momentum of the preseason can carry away, carry over?
Bill quickly got away from that. He was asked that in the post game, and he said, no, regular season wins.
I heard that.
He did. Regular. Yeah. But Ike's happy they won. Ike's happy his whole defensive unit starting was up at the end of that game when they didn't convert that two-point conversion to tie it. And there was going to be no overtime. You know, when you tie in preseason, there's not going to be overtime. I think winning is as contagious as losing is. And when you have more losses last year than normal, you got to get back to feeling right and situational football, coaching, like that. I bring up the goal line play. That's great that Joe hit the kid. And Anucci got the pressure. You get to pick with Ross. Like, don't feel good about that because you get the points off the board there. You won the game. Bill's not going to tell you he's happy being 3-0 in the preseason. Because it's 60 minutes, it's effort. You coach the team, you travel. You go to all these hours of film study and meetings and, you know, the walkthroughs. Yes, you want to win. But he doesn't want to not stress the importance of winning in the regular season. That's evident. But he's happy they won. You know. Hell yeah, they're happy they're 3-0. Yeah. We're not counting, though. But I think it is important to win. To get back to feeling winning.
Larry in Freetown has something on last night's game specifically. Hi, Larry.
Larry.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good.
What you just said a minute ago about how Bill likes to win, and I guess it didn't mean anything. He made that comment. But can you explain to me what the second kneeling down on second down and third down and going for a long field goal? I'm assuming it's just to give the Nordine a chance to kick a long field goal.
It was 54 yards.
Doesn't that...
Doesn't
that defeat the purpose of closing out a game when you know that?
Now he knows they would run the ball. They would probably put in Slater there to get that six tight diamond, or they would run Damian Harris on a lead to protect the ball, keep it in bounds. I thought Zuber did a good job sliding to keep the clock running, or not keep it running. He forced them to call timeout, use their third timeout with over 2 minutes left. So you could tell they wanted to kill at the end of the game, but you want to see if the kid can hit an accurate field goal from 54 yards. That's what you're doing there. You're not trying to run it up or secure the win. Okay, the kid had a rough week last week, right? He hit everything prior to that 54-yarder, and you just want to take a peek at him. What's the distance? Yeah.
And to sort of speak to, you know, does that defeat the purpose? I don't think the Patriots care about wins and losses in the preseason. Now, they don't want to get blown out. Remember that bad loss at Detroit a few years ago? Wasn't that a bad preseason game?
Oh, God, yeah.
Edelman
hurt his knee.
Game. Edelman hurt his knee, and that was obviously a pretty terrible night. But to go back to last night's game, they're not trying to, you know, focus on performing the best or having the most amount of points. They'd rather set up the situation of that 54-yard field goal. And something that Belichick talked about this morning was that he and Joe Judge were on the same page about what the quarterbacks would be facing in the game. They discussed, you know, Mac Jones. Bill wanted to see Mac Jones get blitzed. And he told Joe Judge, can you do that for me? And Joe Judge said, yep, we'll do it.
It's great.
They're on the same page. The opposing coaches in the third preseason game are asking each other to do certain things to get certain looks for the teams.
I thought it was interesting.
And they're doing it.
What Judge said last week. He said, when we started talking about this back in May, you know, the joints, and if we're going to get through COVID, have the joints, I want to get my football team out on the road together. Even though we don't have that fourth preseason game, it's three.
Gotcha.
I want to come up there, travel, bond together, then come back, you know, and play our game. And we're going to probably flip it with New England next year, where the New England will now.
Oh, they'll go down there.
But I guess all the details are not worked out. It's not official. But the idea is we're going to flip that every year if we're going to have three preseasons. Because of three games. The bonding, getting on the road, staying together, the travel, all that stuff. So the last brush up before you're ready to go for good. So Those guys are on the same page with everything. So forecasting in the future, you saw them embrace after the game, too. No issues there with Joe Judge.
Yeah, Belichick said he and Joe Judge agreed to show quarterbacks different looks than what they'd seen in the joint practices, too. Something different than what they had rolled out in practice.
Giants.
Okay, switch it up now for the game. And they're going, okay, that's a good idea. I'll throw this at Daniel Jones. You throw this at Mac Jones.
It's interesting. And I thought the Giants were intent on running those boots, too. They try to get the ball in flat to the tight ends, to the backs. You know, and that's what they do. That's sort of that old Eli stuff. You know, maybe going back to some of that for them. Instead of just letting them be a sitting duck and, you know, shotgun all day.
Brandon's in the car. Hey, Brandon.
What's up, B?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
So I have a question for you guys. Who do you think the best free agent signing is so far, and which one's the worst?
Judon.
My opinion is
Judon.
Yep. That's my opinion too. And the worst is Aguilar. That's mine.
Yeah, he has not impressed as of yet.
I don't know, some people bring up Mills, you know, but I think
he's got a ways to go too.
I think once you get Gilmore in, and if you get Gilmore in, it sets everything. Because JC's your other corner. He's your boundary corner. That kicks Mills inside. Ideally, he looks more confident playing the slot than he does outside. Seems like just a step, half a step late to the stuff to the outside, where the inside stuff, he looks good. But Judon, homewrecker. Homewrecker. This guy's got some power. He's got a burst. And it's going to help Van Noy opposite him. They're going to be able to dose Uche in. It sets the middle with Hightower. You know, Bentley is going to be a run stuffer, just A-gap player. One of it you're going to be able to spot. You're deep, man. Most of these guys we talked about, you didn't even have last year. You know?
It's tough with Aguilar. I mean, what did he have? 2 targets last night?
I've seen
more from him in camp that I felt better about than last night. You know, he was blanketed in one of those throws that I think it was Cam who was still in and wanted to go.
He was going up the left side. Cam tried to do the back shoulder to him. It wasn't close on that.
Wasn't close. And that was, I don't put that one on Cam. I'm like, wow.
I think he looked late.
I don't think he could get open. I've had all I can see of.
They had more intent going to Zuber in that game. Like, quarterbacks were intently trying to get the ball.
Zuber looked like the guy you've always said he is. All right, more on the receivers. I want to talk about Gunnar Olszewski going forward after his night was not so great last night. 617-779-0985. That and a draft pick we haven't spent any time on today as it relates back to the defense. We'll do that now.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports Hub.
All right, then. 617-779-0985. Draft pick I wanted to talk about quickly. How about Christian Barmore? What do you think of that kid so far?
Did you hear Judon talk about him in the postgame?
A little bit, yeah.
He said, once this guy figures out how to play at the net, like, he's
not
going
to say that he doesn't know things.
But he's like, this guy's going to be good. He's nasty.
He is.
He's nasty.
I like him.
Yeah.
I think that they have a good pick there on their hands. That'll be much to the chagrin of Greg Bedard, who I know wasn't a huge fan, or there were all kinds of concerns or whatever. So far, so good on the Christian Barmore front.
I agree.
Gunnar Olszewski did not have a good night catching the football.
And that's the concern with him. That's the concern with him, because the return game, we know what he can do. But I know this was talked about on the broadcast. I think Paul brought it up, and Bob was talking about it. J.J. Taylor is a punt returner. If he can return punts, he saw a little flash in return game. Woody adds offensively, and if there's value out there, hey, Gunner was all pro last year. Now, your best players were your punter and Gunner. They're all pro. Mm-hmm. Like, would they be interested in seeking any, you know, compensation for another receiver to add depth, so to speak? But he didn't do enough in the passing game. He dropped that one perfect ball by Jones on the crosser. And then as the clock's expiring for that first half, you could hear Jones yelling, "Hey, Gunner!" Then he's like, "No, I wanted you to do this," you know? And he put his arm around him, and they're walking off the field. And he's still trying to coach him up. That's a good job by the rookie there. Like, that's the Brady stuff. You know, correct on the fly. This is what I'm trying to get you to do. So, tough night for him.
I just think that if you're going to have a guy on the roster that primary, again, all pro returner, Gunner Olszewski, that can you at least just provide a little depth in the receiving game? Can you just give us you don't have to be the fastest guy. You don't have to be the guy who's going to make ridiculous catches.
I mean, the ball to him from Jones, it was perfect.
But how do you screw that up?
The hands are the wrong way.
And I know that, yeah,
see,
they're
the
upside
hands,
down.
They're like this.
Yeah.
He should have plucked it.
I know,
it,
I didn't.
Turn it over.
Right away, I'm like, his hands are upside down. So I was going to say, as it relates to J.J. Taylor, because I've seen this today, and I don't agree with it. People say, oh, look at J.J. Taylor. And you know I love J.J. Taylor. People saying, well, you know, J.J. Taylor can take over the return duties. I'm not sold on J.J. Taylor, the returner, yet.
It's always tough because you get these flashes from guys. You remember, like, Blunt in the return game, you know, some of the stuff we've gone through with McCourty. McCourty's got good speed. And that's how you get guys hurt, too. Sanu, you pick up right away, right?
Yeah, I was
going to
say.
Put him back here, punt, hurts his ankle, he's done for the year.
I know I don't want to be in the position again where the Patriots are just desperate for
throwing someone back.
Returners with sure hands and trying to find anybody to throw back there.
Yeah.
Which is why I think Olszewski's job is safe right now.
I do, too.
I don't think that, and he's been one of those off-season, like super committed guys in the off-season, winning the parking spot type
yep,
of guys.
Yep.
And the Patriots don't like to cut those players.
No, the guy's an animal. See, it's that Edelman trend that they know so well. Walker Edelman, takes him a while. It takes him 2 or 3 years to get acclimated to this offense, up and running. You start as a punt returner. Here's what's interesting, like from the receiver depth standpoint, you know, Slater's also a special teams guy. But wouldn't you put Olszewski ahead of Slater as far as, okay, if I could have a receiver out there right now in a pinch, who are you putting out there? I don't think Matt runs as many routes as Gunner has, and I think Gunner would be good at the slot. I do. So I think there's advantage there for him in that spot.
You know, we didn't talk about Quinn Nordin, by the way.
Yeah.
When we brought it up last segment, the caller brought up the field goal.
Mm-hmm.
Where does he factor into this? He's not making the team in my mind.
He's got to slide through on practice squad.
Yeah, which he
ideally
which he will.
But I think Carolina traded for a kicker recently. So you just hope somebody doesn't. Oh, that kid's got a leg. He can boot it. Let's get him. He's better than the guy we have right now. See, I think they trust folks' accuracy and dependability. Bill's talked about that.
35 yards and in, 30 yards and in,
money.
Whatever you want to call it. They'd rather have those not have 50-yard field goals.
That's why you're taking the knee and kicking there, because I want to see, is it that much more important for me to have him here on the team because he could hit a 54-yarder, which he didn't hit?
No, Nordin, well, he had a 48-yarder.
Yeah.
But how often are, I mean, I would like to look it up, and I should have looked this up. How many times did the Patriots kick from 45 yards or more last season? How many times did that come into play?
Yeah. And, I mean, he hits that 54-yarder last night. I mean, you're also giving him, I don't know.
Part of it is who they had kicking for him last year. You got a guy with a leg who can do it now. The problem is, and I was reading about this about him yesterday, he has a tendency, you know, going back to college, and he had a college coach who said, you can't try and kill the ball every time. And he tries to kill the ball every time. We saw it down at camp on the extra points. He was putting it up over the net, and he did it again last night, I think. And, you know, booting him way back up on the hill where people are watching it practice,
yep.
He kicks with essentially the same force, trying to go the same distance on every kick, whether it's an extra point or a chip shot field goal or from 60, which we saw him make during camp. But I guess that doesn't always bode well as you get closer, which is ironic, but I think that's what happens.
Now, last season may not be the best judge for the Patriots in terms of how many field goals they attempted because of, you know, the offense. But they tried 3 field goals from 50-plus, and Nick Folk was 2 of 3. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. And he was 11 of 12 from 40 to 49.
The guy's automatic. He was automatic last year. And he's a veteran. And coaches are going to trust the veterans more than the young kicker.
And which is why I said a couple weeks back, I said if Folk gets healthy before the season, he's going to be their kicker.
Yeah.
They're not going to go with the kid.
He was dressed on the sideline last night. Yeah, so I'm standing behind Nordine on the broadcast. So
he'll be the kicker as long as he's healthy. If he's not healthy, then they're going to have to.
I agree with that.
If Nick Folk is not healthy, I think they'd bring in another veteran before they bring Nordine as their guy. I'm sure they'd like to have him on the practice squad, and they like to tinker around with that for a bit. Maybe they want, maybe not. Maybe they don't even care. But I feel like right now they'd go to another veteran before they go to this kid, because I just think they don't trust his accuracy, because he's been a little bit all over the place. But maybe he straightens it out.
Yeah.
But, man, he's trying to kill people, like you said, Hardy, with that kick. 20 yards out, he kicks it like he's kicking it from 60.
Right.
I think it makes it entertaining Lasers. For camp, you know, because you get to stand on that hillside behind camp.
Oh, he was awesome watching camp.
Dodgeball. Like, don't put your drink down. Don't take a bite of your hot dog over there. Make it hit in the head.
No, it's always great entertainment when you have a kicker with a ridiculous leg in camp.
That's what Bailey did, like, from the punting
standpoint.
That's what
he was doing. Like, it's all, we were saying the same. And who was the other guy?
The guy who Hardy always screwed up his name.
Who's the punter?
Boyakis.
Boyhokis.
Boyokis.
Boyhokis.
He was fun to watch in camp as a punter, because he could crush it a mile, but then he'd have one, you know, every third or fourth kick, it would go like sideways and out of bounds.
Oh my God. Remember Bedard's tweets with the stopwatch?
The hang time was amazing. Yep. But then you'd have those occasional kicks that went completely sideways. And you say, well, that's not good. Corey Bohorquez?
Bohorquez.
Boyokas. Nicole Yang wrote about Nordine yesterday.
Yeah.
Apparently he's like a big hothead. I didn't know this about him.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I saw it when he spoke, a couple weeks ago in camp. He didn't seem to be a hothead. He seemed pretty reserved, I thought.
LinkedIn, right?
Bit of a temper. Let's see. November 2017, Michigan up 28-0 against Maryland. Big Ten Network broadcast caught Harbaugh and Nordine in a spat after Nordine sent a 31-yard field goal attempt wide right, his third straight miss. Harbaugh said after the game, I'm giving you one more shot. You got to make the next one. He also, against South Carolina, in the Outback Bowl, Nordine knocked down a 45-yard field goal to give Michigan a 9-3 lead. He then turned to the opposing sideline, yelled, and grabbed his crotch. So he's essentially the Gary Payton of college football.
Or Derek Lowe.
He makes a field goal, turns the opposing sideline, and goes, get somebody out of here who can cover me. They're like, what are you talking about? We're not even allowed to touch you. Why are you talking crap? You're a kicker. We can't even get near you. What are you doing?
Oh my God. What do you mean? When does a kicker ever have the license to go after a head coach? Ever.
Well, wait a minute. In that situation, which one would really be considered the real true hothead?
Oh, Harbaugh is a hothead.
Well, Harbaugh is sure a hardo.
You got the kicker out here grabbing his crotch.
Oh, my God. Remember, remember him and Schwartz when they were leaving the field together? Jim Schwartz? He went after Schwartz, didn't he?
Don't forget, Nordine is the recruiter.
Detroit, San Fran.
Nordine slept over at, or other way around, Harbaugh slept at his house, right? He showed up at the front door and stayed a night.
I went to sleep at the kid's house.
Do that for a kicker?
He did.
That's something to go after a kicker, to care that much about a kicker.
It was a sleepover.
Yep. Well, that's fun. Do some s'mores. A couple hot dogs.
Yeah. Yay.
Yay. You know what we got to do? We got to touch on the Deshaun Watson.
I was just about to say that. The thing we have not arrived at yet is the Deshaun Watson trade rumors to the Dolphins.
Your week one opponent is interested in bringing potentially Deshaun Watson in. Supposedly.
Also, I read something else today and saw a move that the Texans made that shows you Nick Caserio may not be off to the best of starts in Houston in terms of managing the roster, managing the money, all of those things. We'll get to that coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Putting you in the middle of the story.
It's gotta be the closest thing to Woodstock.
In the middle of the day.
It's like an acidic trip.
There's always a little bit of heaven in the disaster area.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Over the weekend, trade rumors started popping up again as it relates to Deshaun Watson potentially being moved. Obviously, he's in the middle of a civil situation as it relates to the lawsuits that have been filed against him. He could soon be dealing with a criminal matter as well, according to some reports on it. But over the weekend, here it was again. Yahoo Sports reporting, Charles Robinson had it. He was on the case that the Dolphins were the front runner to potentially land Deshaun Watson, but that they were still balking at the asking price from Nick Caserio. But I thought the same thing you thought, Zoe, which is, wow, if this ends up happening, whether it's now or 3 weeks from now or 6 months from now, whenever it goes down, if this guy gets moved out of Houston, the Dolphins seem to be hot for Deshaun Watson. They want this guy.
It feels that way.
And he could end up in the division, and that could make them a much better team. They're already trending in the right direction. They've gotten better with Brian Flores being there. That could be a problem.
It could be a real problem. I mean, it could even potentially be a problem with Tua. Tua's a good young quarterback. But you put this guy in your division. I stand by, like, top three, top five guy, quarterback in the league, if everything's right. Like, if he can play. If he's allowed to play, meaning. But 3-1, think of the collateral. 3-1s, 2-2s, and there could be compensatory type movement in those picks based on if he gets suspended or put on the commissioner's exempt list and all that moving forward. I still have a hell of a market out there for him then. If you're still talking about those type of picks, people thought, well, you're not getting ones anymore. You're down to like 2-2s maybe. No, you still want 3-1s for him. Still, I think that's still a massive asking price. But the fact this information even got out there, like, stuff was talked about Miami that they drafted to help Tua. Like, they're building it around Tua. And this kind of backs off it then. But you can put this guy in, he could play anywhere.
Well, don't they have to sort of sell that?
Yeah, I think they do. Sure. Yeah, that's part of it.
I mean, the...
But it's kind of like Brian Flores would do anything to make his team
better.
This is
who we have, so this is who we need to make, you know, sort of... I don't know, be the deal, if that makes sense. So if he gets traded, you know, if they trade for Deshaun Watson, they flip Tua and he goes, what if he goes to the Houston in this deal and they don't have to worry about that? It's now, yeah, we moved on from our quarterback. I don't think the Tua angle is a big deal, at least not for Miami. Can move him. Move him to Houston, move him somewhere else.
Yeah, I think you can. But do you think that, you know, you put Watson there. Is he going to be able to handle all the, I don't want to say distractions, but if this thing doesn't go away.
All right.
Is he going to have the success that he had in Houston? Because he had DeAndre Hopkins in that. Is it that much of an easy and plug and play guy? I think he is.
Yeah, if he's not disgruntled,
is he a better quarterback than Tua,
and right his coach, yeah. And he's, you know, upset with everybody that he works with. Yeah, I think he could. I think he forgot
how to play quarterback.
No, he's really good. Yeah. I mean, let's talk about that. He's still young. He's 25.
Yeah.
Plenty of time left.
So you've got massive, massive prime years in front of you.
Tons. And here's what I think about the asking price not coming down, as it's been, you know, discussed. And, well, the Dolphins want protections if they trade for a quarterback who ends up in some sort of a legal situation that could be, you know, I guess damaging to his reputation or the team's reputation, as if that hasn't already happened. The truth is, Nick Caserio knows Deshaun Watson will survive this in terms of keeping his NFL career alive. We discussed this a couple of weeks ago. I said, do you think this is going to kick him out of the league? You think he's going to lose his job and not be back? That's not going to happen.
No.
He's going to continue his NFL career despite whatever charges come his way or civil cases come his way. He will get through that. And whether there is a pause in his career, that remains to be seen.
Right.
But he will continue playing quarterback in the NFL. And Nick Caserio knows that. And in the interim, he can hang on to the guy. I read that the money to keep him on the roster this year in Houston is $10.5 million. I couldn't believe that. Wow. That's manageable.
That's like a $40 million guy you're talking about. Oh, we're only on the hook for 10. Now, then the kickers come in, though. But, I mean, if they get this guy, yeah, you're going to have problems. Think about it. Josh Allen in Buffalo. He's only going to trend better. Zach Wilson looks really freaking good with the Jets.
Which is sort of interesting that it's $10 million and it's fairly reasonable and that's very manageable. And wow, what a good contract for the Texans. I also read from Mike Florio, who posted this morning, the headline, Texans paid Shaq Lawson $7 million in March and got a sixth round pick in a trade for him in August.
Oh.
After trading for Lawson in March from the Dolphins, the Texans restructured Lawson's contract, converting more than $7 million this season to a signing bonus, which means they then paid it out. They cut the man a check for $7 million back in March. And then yesterday they traded him for a sixth round pick. He says in his column at Pro Football Talk, the $7 million write-off for a sixth round pick comes at a time when the Texans must choose between taking what they can get for Watson now or paying him $10.5 million this year in hopes of getting more for him in the offseason. Whatever happens with Watson, the fact that the Texans gave Lawson $7 million in March and then dumped him for a sixth-round pick only 5 months later underscores that they erred in trading for him and, more importantly, in paying him. What a blunder. Holy crap.
That's insane.
That is ridiculous. Yeah. Oh, let's trade for this guy, get him in here, pay him $7 million up front, and then realize he's not very good. We got to get rid of this guy on a team that is desperate for talent, and, by the way.
It'd be a non-Easterby move. That'd be a, Nick Caserio move.
Way to go, Nick Caserio.
Wow.
How are you feeling about your hiring of Nick Caserio right now if you're the Texans ownership and the McNairs?
So you have no clue how that thing's going. You're watching that preseason game the other day, too, and like just a bunch of random guys playing. Like, so many big names have gone out of Houston or been shipped off. You know, no J.J. Watt, no DeAndre Hopkins. Eventually, it's going to be no Deshaun Watson. You just wait for the defense just to get depleted. And then, but you look at that division they're in. Should be the Colts division, right? Or the Titans.
Two good Titans. Teams. It's
but the Titans,
two.
Like that, they got sort of dismantled a little bit over the last 2 years. You know, they've lost some receivers. They've lost some defensive guys. But you got a running game.
I'm still a believer in their coach.
I am too.
And I don't believe in the Colts.
Or Jacksonville.
Sorry.
No. No, I think Wentz is going to struggle.
Wentz was back to practice. Did I read that?
Yeah, they said he's forecasted to start game one. Like, he was supposed to miss a couple weeks. Now he's probably going to start game one, they say.
Yeah, I don't trust the Colts to be good. I don't. But doesn't mean they won't be.
Right.
And just, I would, if I had to pick one, picking the Titans there. I think the Titans are a better operation, even with Ryan Tannehill, who's been very good, who found himself in Tennessee.
We haven't talked about the update of the gas leak. So
there's an update?
Yes. So the Saturday night.
That update.
Yeah. Our chief engineer, Dennis Knutson, who take one for the team. Tell you what, he's a frontline guy. Watch that guy outside work. They went over the tape. Somebody, drunk driver, hit the gas line. Said he hit the gas, pulled into the lot. There's one car in the lot. Tapped into it. Pulled back over. It says car's leaking. He gets out. He's looking around. Didn't know what the hell happened.
So my question is,
it was
how
a
is
slow
it?
Leak for 3 days now that has been building.
Right. How is it that it was hit on Saturday night, but it was not leaking the amount of gas that it was obviously leaking when we exited the building?
I walked in through
between
there.
Between Saturday and today, what happened?
Well, at what point did anyone around here notice? Was it just like right before we evacuated the building
Correct.
That someone said, smells like gas. Is that what happened?
But
someone just smell it?
How many people have walked through the lobby today and didn't smell that? I mean, something.
Right.
How did the leak expand? So to the degree that it did between Saturday
Four radio
and today
stations
at 11,
in this building.
Was it about 11:30?
Typical Monday in the summer. I would say close to 10 people had to have walked through that lobby here. When you count all the salespeople, oh, my God.
Maybe 9.
11, I mean, that was
9 or 11.
That was a strong odor of gas exiting the building and in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Both indoors and out. Mm. But thanks to everyone who was here quickly to solve that issue. Could do some repairs out there, I'm guessing.
Yeah, put up.
Build
something around it.
Tighten your pipes.
It's just a simple matter of pipe
wrenches.
Tightening.
Big wrenches.
You know,
you like building stuff. You always take
the
projects.
They had the whole thing disassembled with it. About you see that?
caps off, covers
that's
off.
That's insane. Pouring water all over it.
Yeah, soapy water being poured.
Pipe tape.
Teflon.
Flex tape.
A little Teflon in there. Give it a couple quarter
flex
turns
tape, wrap
if you
right
can.
Up.
Oh, yeah.
Does the National Grid guy carry the spray bottle with a few drops of Dawn detergent?
No, he had a big bottle he was pouring all over it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Some of the old methods, they still work.
Yep.
Watch for the bubbles.
It looked like a bottle of windshield washer fluid.
Like filling a tire. Not a tire, but a nail on a tire that you're plugging. They squirt the Dawn on it.
Right?
Yeah.
Watch for the bubbles.
Something from last night's broadcast on both 98.5 The Sports Hub and on Channel 4 that we have not gotten to yet. We obviously many times get to when the hosts aren't listening. What happens when the play-by-play guy isn't listening?
Uh-oh.
What happens?
Uh-oh.
Do we have a sounder for that? We'll figure that out next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Oh.
So,
not a dummy.
Beetle. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub. They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Okay, time for today's takeaways brought to you by Waco 180 Weight Loss, who's excited to announce their newest location. The newest Waco 180 location opening on the 13th of this month in Auburn, Massachusetts. Reserve your location and reserve your consultation today out of Waco 180 Weight Loss.
Nailed it.
Reserve your consultation.
We're
going to
have a lot of laughs for a long time about that gas leak today.
Seems like the emergency exit strategy has worked. All the training.
No, we can't get it. Run!
My favorite part might have been Maz rolling up in his 15-year-old courtesy car. Like, that's pretty discourteous. Somebody giving you a loaner. That's an 03.
They still make those?
I asked him what he puts on the roof racks, and he got so pissed at me.
What are you driving?
It's not mine.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
As he comes in, pulls around, the cylinders are firing, there's sparks coming at the spark plug, and as his truck pulls up.
Zo ran over the hill. It's about... he took off.
He pushed women and children out of the way.
He ran so fast.
I was an all-out sprint. Going right over the hill.
All right.
It was an episode of The Office. It really was.
Oh, man. And Rick, our program director, is like, oh, this will be on the news. I'm like, no, it won't. 3 minutes later, Channel 4 is here. I'm like, what are we doing? All right. This is from last night's game. And that is Bob Soucy had a moment we've all had.
I haven't heard it, and I don't believe it.
You don't believe it?
I don't believe that he had a host not listening moment.
We've all done this.
But he
did it in the middle of the Patriots broadcast.
Nope.
And here it is.
Nope. And now, how to tell when the
radio play-by-play guy isn't
listening.
So many good third down backs. Obviously, we know what James White does and what he means to this football team. But over the years, guys like Shane Vereen, that Super Bowl against Seattle, and that second half was basically him. Kevin Falk, the respect I have for Kevin, and Danny Woodhead. I mean, the list goes on. And the importance of that role, that back.
Well, the Patriots had a guy who wound up with the Giants, Shane Vereen, who was a star in Super Bowl 49, catching the ball out of the backfield.
This has been how to tell when the
radio play-by-play guy isn't
listening.
Nice job, Milliken.
I just looked at it. I was going to give it to him, but he's handling so much.
Oh, of course.
He's got guys talking in his ear.
We don't have an excuse. He does.
They're handing him cards, and he's trying to get the stat thing going. The previous drive. Well, I am giving the information there. He's sort of laying out, getting his next commentary ready, and then
he just kind of was like, Super Bowl 49, Vereen was basically the whole team that second half. But then Bob, you know, so-sees it with the, well, for a player that went to the Giants, you know, he just eloquently puts it all together. Super Bowl against Seattle.
We'll do it.
So it must have been like,
we'll do it.
Am I not
did
here?
Did you mention it to him like during the break of the game? Did you?
I you know what? I did because I forgot about it because we were, I think it was towards the end. And we're wrapping up getting, you know, our thoughts, player of the game. What's the highlight going to be? We're going over that with the producers. And the truck's in our ear. And then I look at the stage guy. He looks at me, gives me the wink. And I just totally forgot about it. But over the years, guys like Shane Vereen.
Well, the Patriots had a guy who wound up with the Giants, Shane Vereen.
All right, that's a little edited.
A little bit. Minor edits. Anything from today's show, T-Bone? Did you have our emergency exit?
I knew something was up because you were talking to him, and I saw the look at
your
face.
Well, Milliken was back there waving at me, and I'm like, what? What's wrong?
Hi. Yeah, hi. Like, I know.
What are we doing?
You're kind of full-time
now. What's happening?
Red Sox.
What's the deal? Is everything okay? What's the problem? I'm like looking at the clock like, what? What's the deal? It was an emergency situation.
It sure was. That's a lot of gas, man. Whew. Nice smoking up there to head till their hair's lost. Because we have a smoking spot out back.
Don't start your damn car. Holy crap.
Get out of your car. Jesus Christ.
Oh. All right.
I'm sure we'll have rehearsals.
Monthly fire drills now.
Wait, everybody's under control.
Active leaky gas line drills.
Way to not panic.
The building is a bomb drill. Yeah. We need to get moving. Yeah. Back tomorrow at 10. Felger and Maz are next. Have a great afternoon.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.